There Are No Girls on the Internet is a production of iHeartRadio and Unbossed Creative. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is There Are No Girls on the Internet. In recent weeks, we've seen demands for racial justice reach an unignorable roar, and a lot of it has played out online. If you were scrolling Instagram back on June 2nd, you probably saw people posting a black square as a way to pause normal social media chatter and make room for voices calling for change. And today, July 7th, is Blackout Day 2020, a boycott campaign urging people not to spend any money unless it's at a black-owned business. But where did these initiatives come from, and how did we get here? The story about that is confusing and familiar at the same time. It's a story about how easy it is to erase black women online, even as we're supposedly trying to make room for our voices and affirming that our lives matter. More on that in a moment. But first, let's go to Mars.
My name is Marissa Mars Sebastian. I go by just Mars. I am a writer, an author, and a social media manager. I just say that I like to have fun on the internet and crack jokes.
Girl-centric web games like Neopets and Polly Pocket cemented Mars' lifelong love of being online. And when she discovered all the cool, weird nerds congregating on the social media platform Tumblr, it was so affirming that she describes it as a rebirth.
Being a nerd on Tumblr is really like my second, I call it my second internet rebirth, like because I was on the internet as a little one, but really joining Tumblr gave me a true sense of what like having friendships that were internet based were like. And so that's always been my favorite part.
Mars was on Tumblr in 2015 when, just like today, police and state violence against Black people was impossible to ignore. She and her friend Tavon Green decided Black folks just needed a break.
We were in a societal moment where a lot of us as young people were reckoning with what anti-Blackness really looks like, specifically anti-Black violence and police violence. We were dealing with the fallout and the realities of Trayvon Martin and Mike Brown, Eric Garner, and Sandra Bland. And things were heavy. Conversations about what it means to be Black in America were so, so heavy. And he was like, you know, we just needed to have fun. We were like, what if we just have fun? And because Black Tumblr was already sort of this like nebulous pocket where a lot of Black people were creating content and chatting and having conversations around all of this stuff, we're like, what if we just, you know, took a break? And so he proposed the idea of just taking a bunch of selfies and posting just so that you can feel beautiful. Everybody wants to flex. Everybody wants to feel celebrated and loved. And so we were like, just love on each other, share each other's pictures, and, you know, we'll take it from there. And so we really did not intend for it to get as large as it did, much less jump from Tumblr to Twitter to Instagram and sort of have this lasting impact that's lingered since. But yeah, that's really what we set out to do with it, was just to provide an oasis, a space where we could just celebrate.
They had clearly tapped into something people were craving, and Blackout Day was a viral smash. Twitter analytics service Topsy said the hashtag Blackout Day was one of the top trending hashtags on Twitter and Facebook, with over 58,000 tweets by noon alone. It sparked offshoots for other Black folks to show up in their online communities, like Blackout K-pop for Korean pop music fans, or Blackout Eyed for Black Muslims. Mars was part of creating something really special online. But as it took off, it was a struggle to make sure she was credited with the very thing that she had helped create.
So let me rewind. When Blackout Day really started to pop off, it started to spread all over Tumblr. People were really excited about it. You know, the bigger things get, the harder it is to, you know, trace the origin. And when our third team member, Newkirk, joined us, he actually was writing down, like, he created a master post that was like, you know, this is what Blackout Day is. And like, this is the guy who's doing it, yada, yada. And I actually had to go and ask him to add my name to that post and say, like, by the way, like, I am also a person who is doing this. Like, this would not be named Blackout Day if it hadn't been, like, it would not be Blackout if it wasn't like for me, because the like you'll see on the original post, like, and I had to go and I pulled receipts and I sent him the post because he asked for receipts to prove I wasn't lying. And then, yeah. And so that was pain point number one. And then pain point number two came really quickly when we went viral and places like BuzzFeed were picking it up. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is such a huge deal. And I was actually in my dorm room because I was still at NYU. I was a senior just about to graduate. And I was in my dorm room, like, giving media training, like flying off the cuff. Like, this is what I think you should say to the two guys while they were interviewed. And like, that became pain point number two, right? And I don't necessarily fault them for that. It's the responsibility of people who are doing reporting to try to do their due diligence. But that became pain point number two. And then that lasted for months. Like, people would be like, who are you? Whenever we wanted to like get together and try again and do another thing, I would speak semi, you know, authoritatively on something, and they'd be like, but are you, who are you? Like, what do you have to do with Blackout? What? And it was like, what, why am I the only one getting this smoke? Like, why, like, aren't the guys, like, why aren't you like roasting them and grilling them for like, there were accusations of me trying to like bandwagon. There were accusations of me trying to scam. Like, I'm just some random girl who doesn't really know that. Like, it was just so weird.
Okay, so this is where the story gets kind of difficult to keep straight, and it's a really good example of how everything online can sort of be turned into one massive digital game of telephone. Mars's initial blackout day, the call to populate social media with images of Black folks that I just told you about, started in 2015. Last month, Brianna Ajiman and Jamila Thomas, two Black women music executives, created what they called the Show Must Be Paused campaign, asking people to take a beat for an honest, reflective, and productive conversation about what actions we need to collectively take to support the Black community. It's not entirely clear how, but their call morphed with calls for people to post a Black square on social media, which people then talked about as Blackout Tuesday. But posting a Black square was never in their original call to action. On their website, the Women's Campaign asks are for folks to donate to bail funds and educate themselves about anti-racist resources. They never asked for anyone to post a Black square. And as well-meaning as it might have been to post a Black square on Instagram showing solidarity with Black lives, many critiqued the action as performative at best, and at worst, potentially blacking out the Black Lives Matter hashtag, a tag that was once full of anti-racist resources and protest information. So clearly, there was some confusion. And in case that's not confusing enough, Calvin Martyr announced another campaign called Blackout Day 2020, a boycott asking that people not spend any money today unless it's at a Black-owned business. Atlanta rapper T.I. promoted it on his social media, which led to media outlets incorrectly reporting that he was the originator of Blackout Day 2020. Like I said, a massive game of internet telephone and a real clusterfuck for Mars to deal with after the success of her 2015 Blackout Day.
5 years later, I, you know, am getting messages like, hey, do you know that there's a guy on Facebook with like thousands of like Facebook followers on this page that's called Blackout Day 2020? And I'm like, what? Who? And then, you know, the media then crediting that movement to T.I.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, okay, like what really is up? Like, I don't know what else I have to say or do to prove to people that this was a thing that happened. And like, I don't know. It became weird. It was hard for me to even put into words what I was feeling, because then I didn't want to feel selfish. You know, I don't want to say like, you know, I don't want to seem like a kid throwing a tantrum when there's actual work to be done, you know? And like, there are so many other things that are more important and like that are happening right now that I care about. But it did sting. I was like, I am so to also see that happen with the ladies, with what became known as Blackout Tuesday, which was a complete departure from their original branding. I was like, well, nice to know other Black women experience this and I'm not like crazy or making it up, you know?
After finding out about the new Blackout Day 2020 boycott, Mars and her team tried to revive their Blackout Day in May, in an effort to regain control of the digital infrastructure they created. But at a time when their voice was most needed, it seemed like their work was being erased.
It's just that confusing. So what we have always faced with Blackout Day is that the word, we don't own the word blackout, right? We definitely do not. Blackout is a word that existed. One could say, okay, you don't even own the concept of when Black people mobilize online. Like, you, I don't own that. I don't. Like, that is a phenomenon that no one owns. It's just us getting together and mobilizing for a greater good, right? But Blackout Day specifically did not exist, like, as a phrase, as a tag, like, before us. So we were actually preparing to try to archive the work and, like, leave the pages up as a sort of, like, museum and a reminder that they happened, right? But we were actually saying, okay, we maybe should, we should make a comeback, because people were obviously, with the success of, like, Blackout Day 2020 and how quickly that man's movement was growing, we're like, people are obviously hungry for some sort of action. We are also re-entering a societal moment just like the one in 2016. You know what I mean? Like, we are currently now living in that sort of moment again. Maybe this is the time. Like, maybe we should just try again. You know, it gets discouraging to try to do this for so many years and sort of feel like you're screaming into a void. And so we're like, okay, let's try again. But the issue is that this guy knew that our hashtag existed and then was just like, I'm gonna just do my thing using a hashtag with the year on it. And unfortunately, we are now we're so confused with each other that people send me hate mail that is meant for him. Like, which is a crazy thing to think about. Like, our email gets emails meant for this man, and I have never spoken to him before. I don't know him. I don't know how T.I. got mixed up in this. It does sound like the media was just like, yeah, T.I. reposted this thing from Facebook and now he's a, you know, movement, he's a thought leader, which is, you know, a whole nother conversation to have in and of itself. It's like, where is the bar? And, like, I know that I am probably shooting myself in the foot. I am very I'm very aware that rocking the boat in this way, but, like, why do we keep making thought leaders of people who are really just doing their due? Like, they're just doing what is right. They're just doing what is, you know, thing, amplifying the voices of other people. But all of a sudden, I'm supposed to really, really listen and hone in as TI comes up with this, like, grand economic plan to save Black people, which, using the hashtag that for 5 years of my life, I have been getting called slurs for. Like, it is really odd. It's like, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone because the whole thing really exploded the day after my birthday. And I was like, what is going on? Like, happy birthday to me, a project that you really wanted to sunset and, like, keep sacred is now back with a vengeance, being led by a man you don't know. And then the whole, you know, the show must be paused. That was like adding fuel to a fire already, you know, because we were already having the weird tension and confusion between us and Blackout Day 2020 and then Blackout Tuesday. And I read, really, as like a scholar of the internet and thinking about how content travels, The Show Must Be Paused is a perfect example of how you can be really, really, really tight with your messaging, but as soon as your messaging reaches a certain threshold, it's out there in the wild. Like, you don't know how people are going to interpret it. You don't know how it's going to change and how it's going to morph. And so, yeah, the black square thing across very many industries, that didn't make sense. And then people were coming and asking me, like, what do we do next? And I'm like, I have no idea. That's not me.
What was it like to sort of be forced into making a statement about Blackout Day 2020, an initiative you had nothing to do with?
It was actually so panic-inducing. Like, to be really real, I was terrified. Just because I am, although I've done, like, I could say, like, oh, I've done a bunch of, like, really cool things. I don't necessarily have a spotlight shown on me very often on the internet. Yeah, my Tumblr following is pretty hefty, but, like, Tumblr's pretty, like, Tumblr's returning to being kind of niche at this point. And so having a massive Tumblr following doesn't mean much outside of a Tumblr, right? But really, like, I got almost 3,000 Twitter followers in 2 days and was like, what's going on? I hope you guys, like, aren't following me because you think that I'm going to have, like, a super well put together plan about what's happening, because I can't answer those questions. Like, again, like, we get emails that are meant for everyone else. I have really had to think seriously about how to move forward.
Let's take a quick break. And we're back. Mars was supportive of the spinoffs and offshoots of Blackout Day, and she gave them her blessing. But the Blackout Day 2020 boycott, with its massive virality and celebrity endorsement, this was different. It makes it hard for her to imagine doing anything else online using the name Blackout Day.
For me, it makes very little sense to continue with Blackout as our name, just because it's kind of like, you know, they have the story that's, what is it? It's like Escalators didn't used to be called Escalators. It was really the brand Escalators, but then everybody started calling it Escalators. So now every moving staircase is an escalator and they lost their copyright. Like, that's literally what it feels like, is now everybody's got a different version of Blackout. And that's been a thing for years. You know, Blackout Eid is one, it's my favorite one. Every Eid where, you know, as Ramadan is ending, like, Black Muslims show out. Like, I love that one. There's a Blackout for K-pop fans, you know, Black BTS fans, Blackout BTS, that's what it is. And they're all, those are all considered, like, direct spinoffs. We've supported them over the years. It's been cool, but no one's ever really known, like, what those actions were mimicking on a grand scale. And so I am just so now used to Blackout this, Blackout that, or, like, Blackout, even this Blackout Day fiasco, that I'm like, you know, I really am, like, at this point, I don't know if there's ever going to be a point where what we were doing before will ever make sense again.
Do you think that the organizer of Blackout Day 2020, like, intentionally camped out on this infrastructure that you built, or, like, do you wish they had reached out to you? Like, what do you think is going on with that?
I have no idea. I haven't spoken to him beyond, like, a Twitter exchange where I think he saw my thread about TI and felt a little defensive. And so I was just like, no, like, I stand by what I said in my thread, simply because I was explaining to people how, like, the mechanics, the actual mechanics of the erasure that happened here. I was, you know, pointing out that the media, you know, gave TI credit for a thing that's happening on Facebook. The thing that's happening on Facebook is our name with a year on it, organized by someone I do not know. Like, nothing I said was a lie. I haven't spoken to him since. He has not reached out again. I've kind of buckled down and prepared for the worst, I think, in terms of, like, any kind of pushback or fallout, spam mail, or, like, hate mail in my DMs or anything. But I haven't spoken to him since. But I find it hard to believe that he didn't see our tag at all in the internet, like, on the internet. Like, I find it incredibly hard to believe, just because, like, we're Googleable. Like, we have a Wikipedia page. Like, it's there. And then, nevertheless, the fact that he did see this whole thing happening, he did see, like, this conversation I was having, and then has not reached out again, and has continued trucking and is selling merchandise and is, like, doing whatever. Like, that kind of tells me what I need to know. And, like, yeah, you could say, well, Mars, why don't you reach out? But I'm tired of doing that. Like, again, I have this whole, from 5 years ago on up, I have been the one to reach out to the other person, advocate for myself. And, like, at this point, I'm like, you know, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I'm going to put the onus on the Black man to do that, like to be the initiator here. Just because they've kind of gotten away, like, you know, with erasing me, like, from the very start. You know, it's frustrating. It's hurtful to think about. And also, like, I'm only saying this because I'm not scared anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I used to be scared, like, oh my gosh, what if they think I'm bitchy? What if they think I'm complaining and I'm detracting and, like, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, you can do the right thing and, like, reach out and ask me what I think and, like, actually say, okay, you know what? I am actually causing problems for this person. Let me do better and do right by her. Or you cannot. That's just it. I mean, until then, I'm hanging out. I have other things that I've got going on. And other things that I'm working on and that I care about. At the end of the day, we all want the same thing, which is better for Black people in America, better for Black people all around the world.
Mars was genuinely hurt. And on top of that, she felt a lot of pressure to put on a happy, PR-friendly version of how she felt. On Twitter, she said she was tired of the expectation that she'd just be grateful to be a footnote on something that she created. While men she's never even spoken to got the credit.
And I'm still, it's a thing that I'm still actively processing, but essentially, like, look at the difference between, like, a T.I. and I, right? T.I. is a multimillionaire, successful, like, heralded, like, out here, does not have to worry about healthcare or paying his rent or anything like that, right? And I'm actually just coming off of the tail end of what I've been jokingly but not jokingly calling the toughest year of my life. The year 25, like, I turned 25 and then the brakes, like, broke. Like, that year, it was so painful and so hard for me. And so here I am, like, watching Blackout Day get kind of erased and, like, become a footnote again, because it happens all the time. But the difference here now is that, like, holy crap, like, there are people with so much, like, so many more resources than I have at my disposal, actively celebrated for, like, doing a thing that is, like, confusing people. So, like, we also have our long-term community who is like, Mars, what's going on? What's happening? Because we do still have people who care about the work we do. We do still have people who we consider our Blackout Day family, and they're like, what's happening over there? And I'm like, I have no clue. And so part of me was like, it really does hurt, because here I am, a 26-year-old freelancer. I have, like, scraped by, like Black women do, like, spinning gold out of straw, constantly just grinding and grinding. And I'm out here just trying to get people to read my writing and just trying to, you know, keep my peace. And then you have, like, yeah, I don't want to see a multimillionaire, like, hip hop celebrity, like, superstar getting called, like, hero. Like, that's so annoying. It was so, it was hurtful. It was annoying. It was frustrating. I was just like, I have no healthcare. You know what I mean? Like, I am surviving the day to day, like, grind for a creative, and it really does, it hurt and it stung. And I was just like, I can't be silent about this anymore, because if I keep this inside me, I'm going to explode. And I was not expecting the level of support that I got in response. I was like, this is nuts. Like, I wasn't expecting anybody to care, if that makes sense. Which is a really sad thing to say, but, like, you know, I wasn't expecting people to really be as passionate as they were about it. And then, like, knowing that I'm also, you know, knowing that I'm not alone in this was, it meant a lot. But yeah, it hurt. Like, it's more than just, like, give me credit, like, whatever. But yeah, I cried. And, you know, I'm really lucky to have been quarantining with my parents, because I think if I was dealing with this particular, you know, unfortunate piece of, I don't even know what to call it. Like, if I was dealing with this unfortunate thing alone, I don't know how I would have coped properly. I think it's also like a culmination of like a bunch of years of this happening, right? I think it was just kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, which seems to be the theme of this societal moment. Like, we are living in, like, listen, we are fed up, honey. But yeah, I was really deeply hurt by it.
When I saw Mars's tweets, I was furious on her behalf. I wasn't alone either. The community she built online was ready to flip tables to make sure she got credited and had support. It's a good reminder that sometimes we're all we got.
It was amazing. I mean, it's so weird too, because I don't feel like I don't feel seen. Like, I forget people see me. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if other Black women have experienced this, but I definitely forget that when I throw a tweet out into the universe, or when I write something, when I create something, when I make something, that other people do see me. You know what I mean? And I think that might be a combination of just, like, you know, the active erasure of Black women in a lot of our workspaces and a lot of the things we make and create, but also just kind of a little symptomatic of like going viral for your work. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be those cool writers who are getting all those cool, like, interviews and yada, yada, yada. Like, I think I got so caught up in wanting to sit with the cool kids. I think of it, like, about it this way. I try not to get so caught up wanting to sit at the cool kids' lunch table that I forget that there are very many people who are inviting me to sit with them. Like, there are so many people who would go, "Hey, Mars, over here." And I'm so focused on wanting to try to get to the cool kids' table that I miss out on that. And so this was also just, like, one of the silver linings was, like, oh my gosh, you are seen and you are loved. Like, people see you. People went up for me. And I was like, this is so crazy. And you know what? And there's also, like, we need to stop trying to take things on, like, and by we, I mean Black women, trying to take things on all by ourselves. Because for real, the energy and the love you feel when you just let people go up for you, just let people start a fire for you. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Let people be your defense squad. You know what I mean? Like, especially other Black women, especially the, like women and femmes, really. And, like, the people from Tumblr who were like, oh, nah, nah, nah. Like, I know y'all are not out here trying to disrespect Mars. And I was like, this is so, like, I cry, you know, happy tears. But that's just, it's crazy. Let people go up for you, and remember that the cool kids' lunch table is, like, overrated. You know what I mean? Like, cool, cool, cool. They have a New York Times bestseller. Cool, cool, cool. They went there on vacation, or they're speaking there, or yada, yada, yada. But, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. Just, and, you know, I've had to process all of that, of course, because I was like, am I just mad that T.I. is getting attention? Like, let's unpack this, you know, like, becoming your own therapist, sitting down on the metaphorical couch in your mind and being like, okay, like, what are you really feeling?
It really comes down to feeling accepted, celebrated, and seen. That's what Mars was looking for on Tumblr. And it's what drove her to create Blackout Day in the first place. And it's what she thinks makes online movements so special.
And getting right back down to the heart of what I hope a lot of these movements think about going forward is, how do you make the people who felt like me, who forget that people see them, how do you make them remember that people see them, and, like, expand their expectations for, and, like, for themselves? Like, what do they want for themselves? And, like, just within the context of the internet. Because, you know, this is a thing that I think could be applied, like, should be applied everywhere in real time. And what I think a lot of campaigns, like, and a lot of sayings like representation matters, like, are getting at is, how do you make the people who feel forgotten, who feel unseen, feel seen and celebrated in a way that's authentic and amazing, and empower them to want more for themselves? And, like, if I were to pivot, and, you know, Blackout Day probably can't exist as it has, but if I were to pivot the project, that would really be what I would want to get at, whether it's, you know, completely scrapping the whole thing and starting fresh with a new project, like that is always what I've wanted my work to do. Is you feel forgotten, you feel like no one loves you. I want this thing that I make for you. I want this organization that I build for you. I want this poem that I wrote. I want this TV show that I create. I want this thing I sing to feel like a love letter specifically to you. That's really how my brain works and how I approach everything is, how does this feel like a love letter to the person I'm talking to? You know, so to the beautiful audience that I'm seeking to create. Oh, thank you. I'm a poet. I don't know if you know that, but.
No, more There Are No Girls on the Internet after this quick break. And we're back. Anyone can make a Black Lives Matter post on Instagram. But how do you really and truly affirm Black lives? How do you show up for Black people, especially the Black people who are likely to go marginalized or overlooked? You might love to consume Black content and Black culture, but do you really love Black people?
To me, love looks like, love for Black women especially, looks like giving us credit. And like, it looks like giving us credit. It looks like giving us space. It looks like giving us opportunity. And it also looks like recognizing when you take up too much space, right? Because I have been seeing, like, in this recent wave of like, oh my gosh, and then we're we're dedicating this space to doing black creatives and da da da, and supporting Black lives. There's always like in Blackout too, there's always cream that rises to the top, quote, right? Like, end quote. Like, there's always the people who are going to be, you know, chosen first for the kickball team, which sometimes that's not great, because sometimes that means that like the powers that be are tokenizing you, and that is garbage. That is a horrible position to be in. I don't wish that on anybody. But also sometimes it looks like you having a ton of access and then not leaving space for someone who might not have as much access to get that opportunity and to have that conversation open up for them as well. And it's hard to have that combo, because like sometimes, like especially on Twitter, if I tweet that, you know, it's like, why are you such a hater? Who are you subtweeting? Like, I don't know. And it's hard too, because as a Black woman, people are also projecting this like either this snobbiness onto you, like a cattiness, or for me, it's like the mammy, right? I'm everyone's emotional support like blogger, which is, I'm honored, but it's also exhausting. So like having this kind of conversation about like who gets where and who and does and like who does what and yada, yada, yada is near impossible on the internet. But I think it's a conversation worth having for sure.
Mars is right. We should be having conversations about who gets credited for their creations. But those conversations are often difficult to have, especially online. And when Black folks make things online, the assumption is it just belongs to everybody. Think about viral sensations like Kombucha Girl, real name Brittany Tomlinson, whose hilarious TikTok of her taste testing kombucha landed her lucrative brand deals, including a Super Bowl ad.
It really smells like a public restroom. From the first video I ever posted, I have like 50,000 followers, which is so many.
So many.
And then from there, I just kind of kept posting. The kombucha video was like the 9th video I ever posted.
Compare that with 14-year-old Jaleela Harmon. Jaleela's Renegade Dance Challenge on TikTok went mega viral, with everybody from Lizzo to A-Rod doing it. But another dancer on TikTok was initially credited with starting the dance trend, and people on social media had to go hard just to make sure Jaleela was given credit at all. Mars wants to know why it's so easy for Black women creators online to not get credit for our contributions, and have tough conversations about the role of power in cultural exchange.
We had to go up for Lil Baby Girl to get credit for that, right? And like watching that, I'm like, oh my gosh, you see people like, and I actually just made a post about this, like you see people like, no shade at her, Kombucha Girl, right? I actually still don't know her name. I'm so sorry. But like you see, like she ended up in a Super Bowl commercial, like hello. And like, that's nuts. Like, how is it that when people who aren't Black go viral, it seems that like it's a life-changing type deal, right? And then like Black people have to actively make sure that our names are like plastered all over everything so that we can, or like people have to make a tweet that's like, so-and-so made this, but y'all don't want to have that conversation before before we get to those types of opportunities. And especially like with Black women, maybe it's because, you know, maybe it's just a small fraction of a piece of the phenomenon that Black people are just essentially the ghostwriters of popular culture, right? Like maybe it's just a tiny little subset of that issue. Just like there was, oh my gosh, I remember back in the day, Tumblr would have this argument about the word fuckboy. And like, there was like this rumor that it was a homophobic slur. And it was like, what are y'all talking about? Like, it really is just like, life is the biggest game of telephone. and like once really and truly, like no offense to them, but like also if you're offended, it's the truth. But like not once non-Black people latch onto something, and like that's exactly what happened with like the show Must Be Paused, because the CTA was two Black people in the music industry. That was the CTA and that was the audience. It was an A-B conversation. But as soon as C, D, and E, which were non-Black people, join in, the whole thing is just like stripped of its original CTA, removed from its context, and then completely bastardized and corny, right?
Yeah, corny and not effective and confusing.
Ineffective and weird and confusing. And like, I think that is just that's what the world just does to Black people creating things all the time, especially Black Americans, especially African Americans. Like, child, as soon as Black people like or do anything that seems cool, as soon as it comes, like, crosses that boundary, and then people are like, oh my God, you don't want, like, your slang to cross, like, generations, you don't want it to cross races. Like, that's beautiful, that's cultural exchange. And it's like, okay, well, what do I get in exchange for all of, like, for all of the white women going, yes sis, yes queen, work? Like, what do I get in exchange if it's cultural exchange? Like, I don't have any privilege. You're not giving me your privilege, you're not giving me your money, y'all aren't hiring me. Like, what is the cultural exchange that people keep referring to when they talk about the ways in which Black creations are like disseminated and bastardized on their way out of Black spaces? You know what I mean? Like, please, you gave me nothing. And I am dealing with you guys arguing about like Karen being a slur. Like, oh, come on. you give me nothing culturally. I am Black. Like, we create this cool, like, we create all this cool shit. Although I will say Dungeons and Dragons snaps, because Dungeons and Dragons is my favorite hobby. So like, I guess that's the exchange part for me on a personal level. But
okay, you know, I mean,
from a systemic point of view, come on.
I'm making this podcast because I want to make sure all the marginalized voices that make being online what it is don't go erased or overlooked just because of our identities. Mars has had a big impact on how folks show up online. And if I were writing a history book about the internet in the 2000s, she'd be all over it. But Mars wishes there were some way that other marginalized people could measure the impact they have online. Because our impact has been huge, and we deserve to have that impact celebrated and affirmed.
I would love it if I could build a thing, or somebody somewhere could build a thing where we teach Black women, especially, how to, like, Black women within internet spaces, but like Black women who are shaping the internet, essentially. Like, if we could have a collective where we all just, like, number one, just get together and like key, that'd be great. Number two, really teaching people how to make their impact quantifiable. Because I think that's always been my issue, right? That's always been the thing that's been hard for Blackout, especially, is how do I, Mars, make my impact on the internet quantifiable? Even when, you know, even being asked to do this podcast, I was like, but I'm not a big deal. And then people were like, but no, you are. And I'm like, but I don't actually understand. I don't think I've internalized how I'm a big deal. You know what I mean? So like, how do I measure my impact? How do I make that impact? And then like the last step is, how do you make that impact work for you? Because that's the problem, is that Black women will be super amazingly impactful and people will benefit greatly with, like, you know, rich benefits from the work that Black women have done. But how do we make it work for ourselves? Like, speaking specifically back to movement work, it's like Black Lives Matter was founded by three queer Black women. Like, that's amazing. But guess who's actively erased from the what has been heralded as the quote main Black Lives Matter movement? Black women, Black LGBTQ folks. And like, how do we make the thing that we make work for us? You know, and so I would just want to, I'm thinking, you know, way far into the future when this era of the internet is over, what I want to be remembered for is like making cool things that made people happy, made people feel loved, made my people, Black people, feel loved, made girls like me, fat girls, Black girls, dark skinned girls, like made us feel loved and happy, but also got credit for and like made my mark and was able to carve out space so that it's easier for the next person.
I mean, that's the eternal question of how we do that. I that's a beautiful goal.
That's always like, and you know, in everything I do, that's really, I want to be able to, and you know, I'm no longer ashamed of saying that. I want to be able to eat and sleep and rest and take care of myself and buy myself a Coach bag when I want to, just as a little treat, because I worked hard.
You deserve it.
You know what? No, not Coach. We Black owned. What is it that everybody wants right now? Telfar?
Telfar.
I was like, oh my God, the peer pressure. I want one too. Then I found out they were Black owned and I was like, okay, gag. But you know, like I want to be able to rest on my laurels, and that's not a bad thing. And for Black women, I want us to really internalize, like, it is not a bad thing to want to be credited. And it's also not a bad thing to want to have the basic necessities of your life and your self cared for, period. Like, whether it be, you know, being credited properly or cited properly for your work. You know how many times I have seen amazing Black writers on Tumblr, amazing Black writers, women too, have their words lifted and posted on Twitter? Like, and I know it's the internet, I know it's public and yada, 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 but like, oh my gosh, please, like, to see people who say, care about Black women, protect Black women, this, da, 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 this is how I'm supporting a Black woman today. You are actively repeating the words, like stealing the intellectual thought, like the intellectual property and thoughts of Black women. And that Black woman, you know, that Black woman goes to bed a little hungrier than she should, while, you know, you have people who are benefiting actively from their work, you know, in rooms with celebrities. Like, you know, some people are going to want to aspire to celebrity, and that is on them to want to aspire to that. But like, to do it while stepping on the hands and the backs and the necks of Black women is just, I cannot abide. And it's, I'm tired of being nice about that frustration. I have resorted to being angry out loud about it, because it's like, if you're going to call me angry anyway, I might as well get my licks in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if you're going to call me big mad or jealous or a hater because I'm not the quote influencer type, you know what I mean? And for a while, that's what I aspired to. I did want to like pivot to, not specifically within the realm of like Blackout, but I did want to like pivot to being like cute and quirky and fun and like have the attention. But I don't like, that's, I've tossed that in the garbage bin. It's like, I'm not trying to be famous. All that to say, like, it's a dangerous thing and a hard line to tiptoe across when you're asking to be credited and then having to kind of fight the clout monster too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying this for clout, I'm not doing this for clout, but also you're gonna know who I am because what I did was important, you know?
Making a specific effort to support Black-owned businesses is a great call to action. As we show support for Black Lives on Blackout Day 2020, let's also honor and amplify the Black women whose labor and talent laid the foundation for us to do so. To support Blackout Day 2020, don't spend any money today, July 7th, unless it's at a Black-owned business. To support Mars, follow her on social media at MarsInCharge on Twitter and at MarsInCharge_ on Instagram. There Are No Girls on the Internet was created by me, Bridget Todd. It's a production of iHeartRadio and Unbossed Creative. Jonathan Strickland is our executive producer. Tari Harrison is our producer and sound engineer. Michael Amato is our contributing producer. I'm your host, Bridget Todd. For more podcasts from iHeart, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.